Great to have you with us on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we take a look at your pet's health with Dr. Bill Stork. And we'll be talking with Dr. Bill in just a minute. This is our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive, and I want to talk about that for a minute, too. You count on the Ideas Network for great discussions, and it's your gift, any amount, that makes these discussions possible. Listener support's the largest source of funding for our programs, and that's why your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is so important. And I'm joined today by the person who I never see without a big smile on her face, Ellen Clark from our Green Bay offices. Ellen, great. Thanks.
And back at you, Larry. We're a good team, aren't we? Smiling all the way.
We're smiling all the way. And are we smiling in terms of the last hour?
I think we're smiling. I think, first things first, thank you, thank you, thank you to everyone who gave last hour. We got 16 pledges last hour.
Good.
And we appreciate that support. But of course, we're not done yet. This hour, we have a goal of 25 gifts.
And these hourly gifts and goals are so important. They help us stay on track financially so we can keep the discussions going strong on the Ideas Network. So good idea would be to give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
That's a great idea. You know, federal and state tax dollars, which also comes from listeners like you, provide important funding for WPR programs, but it's voluntary listener contributions that are actually the biggest piece of support for WPR programs.
You really do make the difference. You make the quality, the variety, the independence of programs on Wisconsin Public Radio possible. And, you know, because WPR matters to you, I hope you'll make a personal contribution to pay for those programs you listen to. And you can do it by going to WPR.org or phoning 888-202-2552.
Yeah, and just take a second right now to think about what's important to you. Family, friends, hobbies. These are things you invest in, your time and sometimes your money. So giving to what's important to you makes a difference in your life and it makes you feel good.
And the biggest source of funding for WPR is listener support. So your gift makes a difference in your life, and also in the lives of hundreds of thousands of other listeners. And together, we make an impact on our community. So make your difference today, maybe with your first ever gift, $10 a month or $120 at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
You're busy. It can be difficult to squeeze in all the day's to-dos, but no matter how challenging your schedule is, it's always fast and convenient to make your contribution to WPR Online. Just go to WPR.org. With secure online pledging, you can pick the amount you want to give, how you'd like to pay, and even ask for a thank you gift. It's secure, quick, and pledging your support is a simple, easy task that has a huge impact. It funds all the in-depth news, thoughtful conversations, and excellent music and entertainment that are a part of your everyday, no matter how busy things get. So give now at WPR.org. Of course, you can always give us a call at 888-202-2552.
That is exactly right. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation during our drive. Larry Mueller here with Ellen Clark. The WPR programs you enjoy are possible thanks to your support and your contribution of $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, it makes a difference for our entire community.
That's exactly right. And supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now is a great thing to do with just a few minutes of your time. We'll need your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay.
Your gift supports the stories and the programs that keep you connected to the world. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And we've got about 50-ish minutes left this hour. We're looking for 24 more people to join in. One of you's already joined. Thank you. Your gift today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 ensures a bright future for the programs you rely on.
You can show off your support for independent journalism and quality entertainment with the new WPR socks.
I gotta get a pair.
Well, you know what? You can get two, Ellen, today. You get two pairs of these navy and gold cotton socks when you give $15 a month or more. It's got an Argyle design, features a radio and Wisconsin-themed pattern. The world will know you support WPR. And this is offer, by the way, is only available today at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. If you haven't contributed yet, do it right now. I'm actually going to make that contribution. Mm-hmm. An extra one today myself to get those two pairs of socks.
Agreed.
Thank you very much. Ellen, you'll come back and be with us, won't you?
I'm here.
All right. She'll be back. But in the meantime, I want to introduce you or reintroduce you, I guess, because he's been with us a number of times. Dr. Bill Stork back on the show today. He's the owner of Lake Mills Veterinary Clinic, the author of several books, and we're going to talk about, to start at least, about emergency care for your pet. And we'll take your other pet questions as well. Has your pet recently eaten something it wasn't supposed to? What'd you do? Have you ever had to call a 24/7 pet emergency helpline? Become a part of the conversation right now at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. Dr. Bill Stork, welcome back. Good to see your smiling face.
Well, good morning, Larry. Glad to be here.
So let's start with who can pet owners call if they have a pet emergency?
Well, that's an excellent place to start. And by my way of thinking, a really good time to think about what to do in case of an emergency is before you actually have an emergency. And if at all possible, prevent having one in the first place. But I had a client in yesterday who on Sunday, their dog had an issue that they knew very well was not life-threatening. But they called one of the emergency hospitals in Madison, BCA, Madison Veterinary Specialist, and the university as well. And they got the same story on all three telephone calls, which was that they simply were not able to take any more cases that day. And that's, I just can only imagine what that feels like to those clients who have pets that are in need. But what I can tell you from speaking with people at those facilities is they have everybody in the hospital working as hard and as efficiently as they possibly can on other emergencies. So a thing to know right off the bat is where you are. And for example, does your regular veterinarian take their own emergency calls and concerns before and after they open? If so, that's obviously a great option. The emergency hospitals, they're doing their dead level best to help whenever they can. And kind of a new option, not that new option, but one of the things that we hear a great deal about is people will Google it just like they Google everything else. And that's a little bit of a sticky situation. But what I can say from experience is I've never known Dr. Google to underestimate the urgency of a situation. Mm. And in any given situation, if Google, I've never heard them say, well, you know, your cat ate half of a lily, it'll be just fine. No, not the case by any stretch of the imagination. So know your options, know who to call, know where they are, have directions. Another real situation is I've had older clients with big dogs who can't physically get their dogs in a car. You know, look up and down the street, and if you've got a neighbor, establish that relationship so that you can get help transporting them to the facility.
So there's a lot of thinking ahead of time.
You bet. Yeah, and if you have another couple of minutes, a tool that can work out very valuable is the ability to triage your pet. And if your pet, God forbid, is vomiting, if your pet has diarrhea, if your pet is bleeding, if your pet has a lump, breathing hard, or just feeling lower than a snake's belly in a wagon rut, there are some really simple observations that you can make to judge how urgent their situation is. And one of which is the respiration. Respiration means a lot for dogs and cats and people. And we would like to see, in most circumstances, in the resting animal, for the respiratory rate to be under 30 when they're not doing anything. When they're not doing anything, when they're not hot, when they're not running around, we hope that they're not open mouth breathing. Open mouth breathing is a sign of distress in the resting animal. And another very simple observation, but a very meaningful operation, is hydration. And there's many people are very aware of a couple of different ways that you can measure an animal's hydration. One is to put your finger on their gums. If it slides around, if their gums are slippery, they're pretty well hydrated. You can pinch the skin above their shoulder blades, and if it drops right back into place, they're not overly dehydrated just yet. And also, gum color is a very big deal. Take a look at your cat's or your dog's gums, and they should be a nice pale pink. And get used to what they look like when they're normal, when they're healthy, so that if they're pale, if they're tacky, if they're dehydrated, then you know the difference.
Somebody wonders should you ever call 911 if your pet's in distress?
You know, I don't think those poor people are going to be able to help us out on the animal side for the human emergencies.
Yeah, I think you're right. Well, what if you're on the fence about whether to call a vet?
Well, if you're on the fence as to whether to call a vet or not, then call. Because, you know, we're always grateful when the phone rings and we're able to sort things out in the space of a telephone call and give people the assurance that even though their pet may not be 100% normal, they're stable. Because that's the first question, you know, are they stable?
Yeah. Well, let's take a call. Richard in Two Rivers will go to you. Hi, Richard. Thanks for calling.
But whatever. Maybe you can hear me. What my question is, it's kind of a complicated dilemma, is where you have health problems, or you don't have health problems, but you got health problems, and then all of a sudden you have to decide what to do with your two dogs quickly, and you don't have family around that can take care of them or whatever. What do you do in that situation?
So with a human emergency, and then you've got dogs, and what do you do in that kind of situation, Dr. Bell?
Boy, Richard, that is a heck of a predicament, and I sympathize with the situation. And the things that come to mind are, as you said, you've already mentioned that you don't necessarily, or what if you don't have family available or friends available? A couple different options is, at least around our part of the state, our Humane Society is most excellent. And they're a bunch of hardworking and extremely compassionate people who are used to dealing with situations like that. The other options that come to mind, as close as I can tell, most part of the states have several active rescue organizations whereby, you know, around us, it's Patty's Paws. They bring a lot of animals up from Texas and Louisiana to be adopted. And by my way of thinking, if they can help us out with animals orphaned in Houston, Texas, they can help us out with an animal that's orphaned in Two Rivers, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So local rescues comes to mind as well.
Those are two great pieces of advice, Dr. Bill. Dr. Bill Stork, our guest, as we talk about your pet's health, we're dealing a little bit with emergency care right now. And here we are also in our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Larry Mueller here, Ellen Clark joining us again. And we're here to ask you to invest a few minutes of time to support your future WPR listening.
That is exactly right. Listener support makes up the largest piece of funding for the programs you count on. Programs like Larry Mueller Show and this great conversation we're listening into right now. That's why your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
And we've got about, between 35 and 40 minutes left in the hour. Yeah, something like that. And we're looking for another 22 or so people to join in. And certainly thanks a lot if you've already given.
Yes, thank you if you've already given. If you haven't, give now. Help us meet that goal at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift funds the programs you enjoy, like Larry Mueller.
Well, because Wisconsin Public Radio comes on every time you start up your car.
Right.
I think that's a sign, Ellen. That's a sign that it's time to donate.
Or how about this? You're listening to another station. You hit your WPR preset every single time a commercial airs on that other station. That's a sign that it's time to donate. That means that Wisconsin Public Radio is your main radio station, and you are glad that we're listener supported.
Your donation makes the programs you enjoy on WPR possible and uninterrupted by commercials. So I hope you'll give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Yeah, we're uninterrupted by commercials because of your support. You listen to Wisconsin Public Radio month after month and year after year. Now donate the same way you listen. Become a sustaining member. You'll make ongoing contributions of, say, $10 or $20 a month for as long as you wish.
You'll have the satisfaction of knowing that you're always supporting the programs you love. So don't delay. Become a sustainer right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
It's 2-for-1 Tuesday. Today only, receive two pairs of WPR socks when you give $15 a month for the programs you love. Replenish your sock drawer or share a pair with a friend. Featuring a pattern of radio and Wisconsin-themed symbols, these golden navy socks are the perfect way to show off your love for public radio and the Badger State. This offer is only available today. Ask for your WPR socks now when you give $15 a month. Here's how.
Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make that $15 a month contribution. I've got to go and add right after the show's over. I'm running. And
make a note.
And I've already made a note. I'm going to do it. How about you? You know, listener support's the biggest source of funding for our shows, and that's why your gift, $10 a month, $15 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
You know, what's so interesting is I'm taking notes on what you need to know before you call the vet, and I'm taking notes on getting my socks. I got a lot of notes going on right here. 35 minutes left this hour. We are looking for 16 more people to join in. We can do this. Make your gift to support the programs you enjoy and rely on every day.
Our programs are listener-powered, and that means that your donation right now does make a big difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And a $10 a month contribution works out to just 33 cents a day. What? When you think about the daily information and inspiration you get from WPR, now that is a great value.
Yeah, what else are you going to get for 33 cents a day, Ellen?
I can't think of a thing.
Nothing, actually. So make your gift of $10 a month right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and your 33 cents a day investment will yield programs that keep you engaged and up to date, although I'd still consider making it $15, and I don't know the math on that right off the top of my head.
Just saying. Now is a great time to become a sustaining member. It's easy to set up those convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. Get started and help us meet that goal at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Sherry in Menominee Falls says she loves WPR, and she likes this show. Helen?
I mean, don't we all? Come on.
We're listener supported. Give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and thank you. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Dr. Bill Stork. Excuse me, Bill. Bill Stork is the owner of Lake Mills Veterinary Clinic, the author of three books. He's great about coming back to be on the show with us, and I always appreciate it. Join in with questions at 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. We've started with emergency care, but we take other questions as well. And let's take a call. Mary in Madison, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I suppose this could be a whole show in and of itself, but I'm wondering why more vets don't bring up the option with folks of euthanasia when a pet is gravely ill or injured. I mean, our family has had some experiences where we had to bring that up and ask the question. And I know people who have been in these situations, too, who really feel kind of railroaded into extreme treatments for a gravely injured animal. And, it just wasn't brought up at the time, and decisions are happening fast. And honestly, some people, you know, they get into financial difficulties because of what this can cost. And, maybe it's because I was raised by parents who were raised on farms. And I was always taught that you don't allow an animal to suffer for your own needs.
Well, Mary and Madison, I can't speak to all veterinarians, and I can't speak about the veterinarians that you have been to, only myself and the colleagues that I know. And what I can tell you from our side of the table is that in any given situation, we're looking to nurture, to serve, and do the very best that we can by the human-animal bond. And we never want an animal to suffer. We never want to pursue treatment if it's not going to result in an excellent quality of life for that pet. And we're always looking around the room. We're always looking at you for clues, because whereas Mary has felt as if she has been railroaded by veterinarians who were trying to pursue treatments on animals that were terminally ill, I've also made clients feel uncomfortable by bringing up the notion of euthanasia when they hadn't thought about that just yet. And from our side of the table, we've got to look for and to get a clue from a client that it's okay to go there with the conversation. And many of us will attempt to ease the conversation in that direction, or to present the prognosis and possible outcomes in such a fashion that the client realizes that, this is it, or this could be it. So trust that we're always trying to do the right thing and help you guys make the right choice. And that's very different for everybody who walks through the door.
Yeah, I would think so. Mary, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Marge in La Crosse, we'll go to you now. Hi, Marge.
Hi, Larry. Thank you. My question is, can you medicate a dog with baby aspirin safely? I've gotten two different answers from two different vets, so I'm curious.
Oh, boy. Now you're looking for a tiebreaker, and you're trying to put me in the middle. Can we talk about the color up in La Crosse on the Mississippi River? So I think I can speak objectively to that. Can you give your dog aspirin safely? Yes, you can. There is a dose that I will not share on the radio. That would border on malpractice to give a dog aspirin. The problem is that the mechanism of action of aspirin also can affect especially their stomach. And by the time you get to a dose that will provide pain relief or significant pain relief for your animal, then you run the risk of causing an abomasal. That would be a cow, a stomach ulcer. So by the time you achieve a high enough dose to achieve pain relief, then you run the risk of causing them a stomach ulcer. There are much more canine specific anti-inflammatories that are dramatically more effective and much safer.
So check with your vet on those kinds of issues, right, Bill?
You bet. That's my attempt to be both objective and scientific at the same time.
Okay. Marge, there you go. Thank you. Claire in Madison, your turn. Hi, Claire.
Hi. I had a question about Giardia and puppies / dogs that are born with Giardia. You know, we've had two treatments. Regiments trying to get rid of the Giardia. The Giardia is still there, and the dog is drinking a ton of water, just wanting water, which I'm guessing that's a side effect of the Giardia. But we've already had a UTI checked, and the dog does not have a UTI. But I'm just wondering how long, and if this is in fact a result of the Giardia, this drinking of the water, and just how long it takes to get rid of the Giardia. Thank you.
So are we talking about a young dog?
Yes.
And what are the consistencies of the stool?
Yes, we are talking about a young dog, and the young dog has had two positive Giardia tests at 13 weeks and 17 weeks.
Okay.
And now exhibiting again at 19 weeks, sorry, not 20 weeks, 19, 20 weeks, exhibiting the same behaviors regarding the drinking the water excessively or, you know, going to water again, that it happened earlier with the Giardia, or yeah. I don't know why, honestly.
And why, and what is the consistency of the dog's stool?
Not bad. In fact, the dog's stool was pretty normal, and the only reason we just were going in for a standard Giardia test and mm-hmm. didn't even really know that. The vet said the puppy probably came with Giardia, that it's uncommon from some of these places that the puppy
comes from. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, indeed. They can get exposed early on and it can persist. And either Giardia can persist. It can persist in the stools. It can persist in the puppy. It can persist in the environment. So one of the ways that Giardia can persist is, as I said, in the dog's environment. So it's really important to literally pick that stool up and remove a veritable divot when you can. Also valuable is to give the dog a really thorough bath multiple times during the treatment in order to remove that potential source of reinfestation. So those things can be an issue. Then you've actually brought up a topic that gets discussed in veterinary forums fairly frequently. It is possible for the test to remain positive after the dog has essentially ridded itself of the infestation. So the tests can remain positive. As for the excessive water consumption, that's a big topic. There are puppies who will drink in a recreational fashion like college kids on spring break. It doesn't even have to be necessarily a pathological situation. There is such a situation, there is such a condition as recreational water drinking. It may not have anything to do with the stools. So, you know, my habit is I take a couple steps back and I look at the big picture. Eating well, drinking well, not vomiting, bright alert responsive, energetic, normally formed stools, then I get comfortable with letting it go for a while and seeing how we do. I don't necessarily even go looking for Giardia if clinically the dog is normal and the stools are normal.
Yeah. Claire, thank you for calling. Cheryl in Iron Ridge, Wisconsin. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, Larry. Long time no talk.
Well, good to have you here. What's on your mind?
Well, the gentleman that called and said when he would get sick, what does he do with his dogs? Well, yeah. Many years ago when we lived up north, we just moved down toward Milwaukee now in Iron Ridge. And when I lived up north, our Rhinelander Tri-County Council on Domestic Violence had volunteers, and I was one of them, to take animals for people who wanted to get out of a bad situation. But here's the other key. If you have boarding places in your community and you talk to them and ask them what they would do if you became ill and had to go to the hospital or whatever, they have special rates often for you to board your dog with them while you're in the hospital until you can get out and get your dog or cat back.
You know, that sounds like, Cheryl, thanks. That sounds like another good opportunity, Bill.
It does, but at the same time, make sure that your animal is one in good health, current on vaccines and things like that, because even if they have room and personnel to be able to take care of dogs from that situation, and we would all love to be able to be as compassionate and helpful as you are. Thank you very much for doing what you have done. If the animals doesn't have a current negative stool sample and isn't current on its vaccines, then that animal could endanger the other animals that come and board and do daycare at that facility. So, you know, I think the central theme is to think ahead once again, to be able to almost plan for the eventuality and then hope that it doesn't happen.
Yeah, Cheryl, thank you so much. Appreciate your call. And thinking about planning, if you've been planning to contribute to Wisconsin Public Radio, let me tell you, this would be a very good time to do it. Because we're in our fall member drive, and Ellen Clark's coming back on the scene here to join me. Our goal is to keep bringing you topics like your pet's health to you on a regular basis. And your support, it makes that happen, because listener support's our biggest source of funding. So give now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And any amount makes a difference, and any amount right now helps us meet that goal. We've got about 20 minutes left to this hour. We are looking for 12 more people to join in. We're looking for you. Your gift right now is so very important, because when you give, you support the programs you rely on every single day.
And a big thanks if you've already given. If you haven't, here's the time is right now. If you haven't done it yet, give it WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And you know, today Larry and Dr. Bill are talking about pet care, and as we all know, pets can't tell us what hurts, but together Larry and Dr. Bill, they help us, they talk us through it, they give us clues onto what might be going on. And when you give, you support that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You make this hour and many, many, many more hours possible. Choose any amount that works for you. Take a few minutes. Help us meet that goal and make your gift.
Once in a while, you actually do get more than you pay for. And WPR, I think, is one place where that's true every day. Maybe consider a gift $2 a day to support the programs you love.
And it's hard to buy much for $2 a day. But at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 a day makes a lot of news, talk, and music possible. That works out to $60 a month. It helps us meet our goal, and you can make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Sheree from Waupun.
I felt so guilty. I felt like a freeloader for years. I have to say, I just became a member in this past year, and it was a sustaining member, and I want to make sure it fell on a time where I knew I was going to always have it, and I plan on putting you in my will. Even if it's only like a $500 gift, I plan on leaving my mark here. I want to make sure that this continues. I do. This is very important to me.
To make a difference in your community and beyond, visit WPR.org.
That's right. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Larry Mueller here with Ellen Clark. Your support during our drive makes the WPR programs you rely on possible, and your gift, maybe it's $10 or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
It's the exact right amount, and it helps us make our goal. We want to make this hourly goal. If you've already made an annual contribution or you make ongoing monthly gifts as a standard, thank you so very much. You are the backbone of WPR.
And if you haven't given yet, you could join the tens of thousands of dedicated WPR members when you donate at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And I don't know, Larry, we're stuck on 12. We've got 15 minutes left. We're looking for 12 more people to join in, move us off that dial. Your gift today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 ensures a bright future for the programs you rely on.
Well, we'll be adding a little right after the show, and you can join me in showing your support.
Me too.
For independent journalism with two pair of WPR socks. Today only, you get two pairs of these navy and gold cotton socks when you give $15 a month or more. It has an Argyle design, features a radio and Wisconsin-themed pattern. The world will know you support Wisconsin Public Radio's essential public service. Do it by going to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And join Karen in Whitewater. She says WPR is such a gift. Music, trustworthy news, entertainment, and thoughtful, intelligent conversation like we get here on Larry Mueller. Erica in South Lyon, Michigan says WPR is important to my family in so many ways. Thank you for being there.
WPR is listener supported. That means your gift is so powerful, really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And thank you. Looking at your pet's health today with Dr. Bill Stork, owner of Lake Mills Veterinary Clinic, an author of three books. He does a lot of speaking. It's always great to have Dr. Bill stop by. Questions, give a call, 800-642-1234. Email to ideas at WPR.org. Let's take a call. Paul in Sturgeon Bay, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Great guest. Thanks for taking my call. I have a chocolate lab that's on Apoquil, and am I correct that once the dog goes on that, they cannot go off it?
I'm sorry, you broke up a little bit, Paul. You have a chocolate lab on Apoquil, as are so many dogs this time of year. What was your question about the Apoquil?
Am I correct that the dog cannot go off of it?
Ever.
Oh, well, no, not necessarily. We hope that when the season relents, and for a lot of dogs, that is when the leaves fall off the trees, or when we get our first freeze, or when the snow starts to fall. For so many of our allergic dogs that are seasonally allergic, then that will give them a break. Now, every allergic dog presents to us differently, and many of them are allergic to things that are in their environment year round. So hopefully your dog is seasonal, but skin is something that we're always learning with every patient, with every year.
There's not a problem with just stopping it, Apoquil?
You can discontinue Apoquil if we have reason to think that whatever the allergen is, has tapered. And yeah, you're not going to do dramatic harm.
Okay. Paul, thank you. Linda in Spring Grove, Minnesota, your turn. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Larry. Thank you for taking my call. I have border collies that I work livestock with, and I have one in particular that when she works extensively, she collapses. And I've heard things like border collie collapse. It's also heat exhaustion collapse. It's called a number of different things. And I'd like to know how I would go about finding out if that's what she has or if it's a heart condition or something else.
Yeah, exercise-induced collapse. We see it in Labradors as well. And how do you go about absolutely diagnosing that is, of course, by ruling out all of the other stuff that it could also be. And that can be an extremely extensive workup that would start with, as any workup starts with, a thorough physical exam, which involves us listening to heart and lungs and feeling lymph nodes and muscularity and abdominal organs, collecting a very thorough history from you to learn more about the situations when this takes place. And then blood work and electrolytes would help rule out other metabolic associated diseases. And if all of those diagnoses come back normal, then we get closer to a diagnosis of exercise-induced collapse. Man, there's hypoglycemia that can take place, exercise-induced hypoglycemia that can take place. So it starts with a physical exam, blood work. You know, sometimes we end up taking x-rays of the heart. How old is your dog that this happens in, and does it seem to be heat-related?
She's 9, and yes, it started out being heat-related, but now it's cool out, and if I send her on an outrun, she already starts showing signs of collapse. I'm in the process of having everything physically ruled out. She just had a blood draw today. Mm-hmm. Everything's normal so far with her heart and her lungs, and I suspect it will be with the blood test as well.
Yep. And if that turns, like, as I said, there's some really, I call them nebulopathies. There's some of those diagnoses in there that can be hard to absolutely diagnose. There's one called myasthenia gravis that can set in gradually on dogs of any age, but especially on older dogs as well. You know, what we may... Obviously, you're going to be under the guidance of your veterinarian. It sounds as if you're getting some great care and some great diagnostics up there. But what they might be recommending that we do is learn what she's capable of and what she's not, and pull her back before she gets in a situation like that, as obvious as that might sound.
Yeah, for sure. Linda, thank you. Good luck, by the way. Appreciate your call very much. Katie emailed a question in, Dr. Bill. Last year, she fostered and then adopted an elderly Shih Tzu, Winston, who is partially blind, partially deaf. Recently, he started wheezing and coughing, and their vet seems to think that he's in the beginning stages of congestive heart failure. Even more recently, when he goes outside to urinate, he becomes wobbly and passes out. At first, Katie thought he was having seizures, but after some research, she thinks it might be a symptom called syncope. And her question is this very serious, and is there anything more she can do to keep him, other than keeping him comfortable, spoiling him rotten, and catch him when he topples? They think he's about 7 to 10 years old.
Well, first of all, Katie, we just so appreciate when people adopt older pets and give them their best days, as they say. That's awesome. Syncope is not so much a diagnosis all by itself as it is a symptom of other situations. And if your veterinarian is suspicious of congestive heart disease, then it probably means that they've heard a heart murmur. Your Shih Tzu is pretty much a poster child for heart murmurs. It's on the list of things that we see fairly frequently in those breeds. And if indeed it is congestive heart disease, then there certainly are some very specific ways we can help manage that and help them breathe more easily, in addition to the environmental concerns, which are a big deal in older dogs. You know, we don't ask them to travel long distances. We don't ask them to do stairs. We make life as minimally stressful as we possibly can. But if it's congestive heart failure, congestive heart disease, then you bet there's ways that we can help manage that.
All right, there you go. Thank you so much for that question. Lisa in Iron Mountain, Michigan, called but couldn't stay with us. She has a mini poodle that she took in for some tests. The doctor couldn't complete the test because the dog's platelet count was too low. What could cause that, and what could she do to help her dog?
Well, that is getting us started on in the direction of a diagnosis, and if she's no longer on the line, then we'll have to speak a bit hypothetically and from experience. But there is a group of ailments known collectively as immune-mediated hemolytic anemia or immune-mediated platelet deficiency. And those things are, as the name suggests, situations whereby the dog's own immune system has for some reason decided either their red blood cells or their platelets are foreign and starts to take them out. Often with those dogs, we end up getting started treating them with steroids in order to downregulate the immune system. Obviously, whomever it is that did the blood work is going to have some advice on that. There are other drugs that regulate the immune system and help downregulate the immune system, but that's where we would get started. There can, depending on the age of the dog, there could also be some tumors lingering in the vicinity of the spleen, in the vicinity of the liver, that could be making those platelets or making those red blood cells look foreign or consuming them for that matter. So
okay.
The answer is we should be able to help with that.
Dr. Bill Stork, our guest today during our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Ellen Clark joins me for the last few minutes here before the top of the hour. And we're here to ask for your support. Your chance now to support all the programs you listen to throughout the year. Take that step when you donate at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And take that step right now. We need 9 more people to join in the next few minutes, and we will meet that goal. These hourly goals are set up to make sure we have the funding for the programs you enjoy. Programs like this Larry Mueller Show. Make your donation right now. Help us meet this goal at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Great to have Dr. Bill Stork on the program with us. He does such a wonderful job, and of course he does it as a public service free of charge. It's great to have him do that. It's a great benefit to Ellen and myself, for sure. Mm-hmm. What about you? How's your life enriched by it? I hope you'll join in with your support here at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 and make this hour and many more hours possible.
And, you know, you talk about enriching lives. I was thinking about this, like Larry Mueller has a tech guy. He's got a weather guy, you know, you got a pet care guy, you got an insect guy, you got all the guys. And then we have garden talk. I mean, let's meet this goal with Larry Mueller's show, 888-202-2552 or WPR.org.
I've been a public radio listener for as long as it's been around. It's a long time. Public radio for me is pretty much the only kind of radio that I would choose to listen to. My name is Penny, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for programming I can't get anywhere else.
And to support us, go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your donation during this drive. Larry Mueller here with Ellen Clark, and the programs you enjoy are possible thanks to your support. Your contribution could be $10 a month, could be $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose makes a difference.
For the entire community, and we've just got a couple minutes left. We're looking for 9 more people to join in. Help us out if you can. When you give, you fund the Larry Mueller Show and all the other programs you count on. Give right now. Help us meet this hourly goal at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're thinking, I can't donate enough to make a difference, I hope you will think again. You can give that $10 a month and provide some really high-quality journalism, some thought-provoking conversations, some great information from people like Dr. Bill Stork.
Mm-hmm. You help yourself and the entire community, and your gift truly makes a difference. Give now. Help us meet that goal. $10 a month or whatever amount is right for you. Every gift is important at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, it's 2-for-1 Tuesday.
2-for-1.
We'll get, Ellen and I are both going to do this right after the
yes,
show.
Exactly.
We're
going
to donate again, both of us, add some extra to our contributions, and we'll get 2 pairs of those WPR socks. And the offer is only available today at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Dr. Bill Stork is going to be with us right through the newscast here, and we'll be here to take your questions right after the news. But in the meantime, go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contributions. Thank you very much. Taking a look at your pet's health today with Dr. Bill Stork, owner of Lake Mills Veterinary Clinic. It's always great to have Dr. Bill stop by, and certainly if you want to join in, you can email us to ideas at WPR.org or phone 1-800-642-1234. Let's take a call. Cheryl in Eau Claire, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call. I have a 14-year-old cat. She's almost 15, and when we got her, she was a stray and a kitten. She had feline herpes, and it showed up in her eyes. At that time, it was just sort of a green goo in her eyes, and we were able to take care of it with some sort of medicine that we put directly in her eyes, and it didn't really show up for most of her life after that. I mean, obviously, herpes is a virus that stays with the cat for their whole life, and so it didn't show up much. But now that she's getting older, she has constant outbreaks, and the way that those show up is like a stuffy nose, and she's constantly sneezing, and it sounds really, her breathing is super labored. And so we've taken her to the vet off and on for the past year, or maybe 2 years, actually. We've been trying to battle this, and it's just so painful to see her. You know, cats are super tough, and she acts like nothing's wrong, but we can't get her to take her medicine. The vet gave her first. They gave us, we've had her on antibiotics off and on to get rid of secondary infections, but the virus itself, we can't seem to beat back, and the vet gave us fenciclovir, something that is given to humans for the herpes virus, and we can't get her to take it. She just gags. And now we have her on steroids to try to stop the inflammation in her nose. And I guess my question is, how do we get her to take the medicine? Is it even going to work? Is there another way to get around this?
Yeah.
Boy, this is at least as much a quality of life discussion as it is a virus discussion, because with certainty those viruses are going to be very difficult, if not impossible, to suppress. And the sequence of treatments that your veterinarian prescribed, antibiotics, antivirals, and now steroids, is kind of the classic sequence that we use to try and bring these guys comfort. And when we're talking about congestion in the upper respiratory tract, it could be in the sinuses, it could be in the lungs, then it gets very difficult. And I've known clients, I've had clients who have pursued absolute diagnoses of these situations, gone so far as to do MRIs and CT scans on those cats to know exactly where the inflammation is, but it doesn't so much change our options, the tools that we have to treat it. So I'll answer your question in two different ways, one of which is that if it's absolutely impossible to get the medication in the cat, if it's a fight, if it brings additional stress to get the medications in the cat, then it's not likely that the benefit is going to warrant the additional stress on their system. There are long-acting injectable steroids that we kind of use as a last effort for these guys. We don't know how long they stay in their systems. We don't know to what extent they're going to be helpful. So you may ask your veterinarian about a long-acting injectable steroid that can be beneficial. But I will also offer that one of the things that really stuck with me after both my parents had been through the hospice system is that one of the most desperate sensations to an animal is oxygen deprivation. And when they are working to breathe, when they are struggling to breathe, that's a very stressful situation. And above all, with our animals, we're charged with responsibility. We always want to prevent them their worst day.
Mm. Cheryl, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, Mary in Rubicon has a question for us, I believe. Let's go there. Mary, hello.
Hi, Larry, and thank you, Dr. Bill, both of you. I have a dog. He's a Shih Tzu Pekingese mix. He'll be 16 in November, and the vet said he's got an elevated liver, and she put him on prescription dog food and Danaramin, I think it's called. He won't.
You bet.
He absolutely won't touch it. He won't. I can try hiding it. I can starve him to death, but he will not eat the food, and he will not take the medication. He is stronger than I am. I gave up with the prescription food. Is there anything I should look for if this liver disease,
progresses? What
should I look for?
Well, once again, we kind of take a couple of steps back and ask, what is he up to? And first of all, you said that he's stronger than you are. And that's a really good sign.
Yeah.
You bet. And that's a really good sign that he feels well enough to put up resistance, for example, if you're physically attempting to pill him. And similar to the previous discussion, if it's a knockdown drag out to get the medication into him, it's not likely that the benefit of that medication is going to warrant the additional stress on attempting to give it to him. And hopefully your veterinarian would agree that, whether it be liver disease, whether it be kidney disease, it is optimal if they will eat these prescription foods. Those prescription foods and those supplements can benefit them. What's way more important is that they eat and they drink. So if they won't eat the prescription food, then we feed them the things that they will eat and try and keep up their strength that way, because there's no number value for those liver enzymes that say, okay, this is it. We've seen those values quite high.
Yeah, there you go, Mary. Thank you very much for calling. Good luck. Appreciate your call. Catherine in Wausau, your turn. Hi, Catherine.
Hello. Great program. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. My question is, I have a 14-year-old dog, and he has some arthritic problems getting up from a nap and getting moving about. Once he gets going, he's okay. But how effective would glucosamine MSM or fish oil be to give and to help this poor pooch?
Yeah.
Well, that's a perfect question, Catherine. Evidently, we have fallen into the geriatric segment of the program today on 13 and 16-year-old dogs. So to answer your question, in my opinion, and opinions may vary with regard to supplements like glucosamine. Glucosamine can be a great supplement. We can also bring into this same discussion things like turmeric and fish oil and CBD. Those things aren't specific, and some dogs will benefit a little bit. And if you have a 13-year-old dog that is having a hard time getting up, and if you have a 13-year-old dog that's struggling on stairs and getting onto the couch and things like that, you'll probably need something more specific. And something more specific is going to be something like an anti-inflammatory. We have several that we use in veterinary medicine that are far safer than what you would use from the human side. And your veterinarian may also recommend monitoring their blood work to make sure there's no ill effects on their liver and their kidneys. But short answer, glucosamine probably isn't going to have him leaping tall buildings in a single bound.
Catherine, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Matthew in Warren, Illinois, it's your turn. Hi, Matthew.
Hi. Thank you for having me on. I worked in the animal rescue community for a number of years, and we mainly rescued exotics, in other words, not dogs or cats. And a lot of these animals needed to be treated, especially like rabbits, had to be on a number of medications as they got older. And we had all of those medications compounded with flavors. And it's night and day. The rabbits would push each other out of the way to try to get to the medication. They'd literally grab it out of the other one's mouth if they could. And we'd give them 6, 7, 8 medications at a time because they were being treated for heart disease and inflammation and stuff like that. And I'm always amazed by people who tell me these stories of wrestling with a dog or a cat to try to get medication into them. And I said, did your vet ever offer you a liver-flavored liquid that can be squirted in instead of a pill? And the answer is always no.
So is that the kind of thing that, Bill, Matthew, thank you for calling. So liver flavoring.
Yeah, you bet, Matthew. And first of all, once again, thank you for all the heavy lifting you did when you were in the rescue business. And you bet, there is a lot of compounding pharmacies out there who can make these medications for us, who can flavor these medications for us. If we are slow to recommend them, one is there's not always a guarantee that they're going to fight for it like the rabbits are for the medications. And they're oftentimes fairly expensive to have the compounding done. So a very good point.
Yeah, good point, Matthew. Thank you. Carson in Plum Lake, hello.
Another term for the enlarged heart.
Yeah. Good point, Matthew. Thank you. Are you there, Carson?
Yes, I am.
Hi, what's your question?
The question is, I'd like the doctor's opinion on the no-grain foods that have been out for a number of years. I have a 10-year-old big dog and has created an enlarged heart, and we've got him on some medication. But the vet told me, he says, get away from this non-grain food because it could be a cause of...
the problem.
His heart. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Nelly, I'll tell you what, I'm going to figure out a way to answer that as succinctly as I can. And the first thing I can say is I like the way your veterinarian put it, which is that get him off the grain-free food because it could be associated with the cardiomegaly that you are experiencing. And it could be. It's likely not. And the research that produced the wave in social media and in the lay press or in press at large that suggested that cardiac disease was associated with grain-free diets has fallen under some really significant scrutiny recently. So, man, we could talk for an hour and a half about this topic, but I totally agree that it's a great idea to not feed him the grain-free diets. There's a really good possibility that it was not associated with that diet.
Carson, thank you so much for that question. Appreciate it. And Bill, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Dr. Bill Stork, our guest today. He owns and operates Lake Mills Veterinary Clinic. He's an author, and he's going to be at the Moth Story Slam in Madison next month, and I'm going to be there to hear him. I think that's on October 14th, so I'm looking forward to seeing Bill along with a friend of mine at the Moth, because he's a great storyteller as well. And another great storyteller is Ellen Clark, who joins us again during our fall member drive. You count on the Ideas Network for great conversations like the one we just had, and we count on you to help keep these discussions on the air.
That's right, and I'm not telling a story when I say listener support is the largest piece of funding that makes this show and all the others you enjoy possible. Your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so very important.
And I'm just looking to see. I think we have a goal of 20 this hour, and we have two in. So we've got 18 to go during this hour. And I tell you, the goal is set to make sure that we'll be in good position to pay for the Larry Mueller Show in the months to come.
And we sure want that to happen. Let's meet this goal. It happens one gift at a time, and we will start with yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thinking about some of our regular guests, Dr. Bill Stork is with us regularly. Jesse LeGru and Beth D'Angelo help us with our computer and tech problems. PJ Leash and Phil Pelletieri are there to talk about insects. And Melinda Myers, a nationally known gardening expert.
I told you, you have all the guys. Larry Mueller knows all the experts. You get great information, information you can use from these guests and so many others on this program. And together, we get to the bottom of your questions, to all the issues. It's possible with your gift. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And today, take that step to support the WPR programs you love with a gift of $15 a month and get two pairs of WPR socks like Ellen and I are going to get right after this show's over. But you don't have to wait for that. You could do it right now. You know, whether you add another pair to your socks drawer or share a pair with a friend, these Argyle socks are cotton. They're the perfect way to show off your WPR pride. And the offer is only available today, so it's 2-for-1 Tuesday. Make your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And just so you know, if you're wondering, when we ask for your support, we're speaking to you.
Yeah, don't
you.
Look over your shoulder.
don't
look at your neighbor or your friend or your coworker. You're listening right now. You value this program. You rely on it being there for you.
That's right. You count on us. We count on you. Listener support is what makes this program possible. You're a listener, and make your gift right now and become a member at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When I was growing up on the farm, one of the things we did was turn the radio on at lunchtime and listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. And maybe a friend recommended the music or the news or the great talks or maybe you were just scanning the dial. However you first found WPR, now you're hooked.
Right. And whether it's been years like it is for Larry and me or just a few months since you found us, your contribution of, say, $10 a month or $120 supports the quality programming that you've valued since the very first time you listened. Be part of making WPR possible right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, I've been a member since 1978. As far as I can remember, when I graduated college and I realized I better start paying everything back for which I owe, and more than just my parents. There's a whole lot of things for which I think I needed to pay. I'm a member, and I dare you to find me any reason not to contribute. I'll bet you can't find a reason. I think it's a lot more important to find a reason to contribute.
Give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Ellen Clark. Listener support's our biggest source of funding, and that's why your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, is an important impact.
Whatever the amount, and just know giving to Wisconsin Public Radio is really easy and it's really fast. All we need is your name, your contact information, the amount of your gift, and how you'd like to pay.
Just takes a couple of minutes to make your contribution to WPR, and those few minutes fund your daily listening. Your support right now makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And we always say it and we mean it. Everyone should make the gift that works for them. And for you, that might be a gift of $100 or $200 a month.
Yeah, maybe that's what you pay for cable or maybe your family phone plan. Listening to WPR, it's something you do every day. Put a value on it, like all the other things that are important to you. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And I think we all agree and understand that WPR is important to the fabric of society. You hear news you can trust, you have enjoyable statewide connection with others, and appreciate quality music and entertainment. So it takes the entire community to make this possible for everyone, and you can do your part in just a few minutes. It only takes a few minutes when you make your gift of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I think it becomes a habit listening to Wisconsin Public Radio, and maybe you could make it a habit of donating as well. It's a good habit, a habit you can be proud of.
How many things can you say that about?
Right. Get started right now. Help out with your donation, any amount, at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And we've only got a couple of minutes left here with you. We're looking for 18 more gifts. And we're looking for them to, you to join in this hour. Your gift today at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 ensures a bright future for the programs you rely on.
And remember, today only you get two pairs of those navy and gold cotton socks when you give $15 a month or more. And it's only available today at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Right. And if you're a sustaining member, thank you so very much. To help us meet that goal, maybe you could make today the day you increase your support by $5 or $10 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Jeffrey in Green Bay says WPR gets him through his work days. Well, I tell you what, we're listener supported. That means your gift right now is so powerful and important. It really does make a difference. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make that contribution right now. Thanks if you've contributed. If you haven't done it yet, do it right now.